Checking in once again with Quincy School Committee Vice Chair Anthony Andronico for an update on the school committee meeting, which was the last one for Superintendent Cristofaro. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, Joe. How you doing? Thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it.
You bet. These are great. Great to have you. And we'll continue on a periodic basis from here on out, depending on when the committee gets together again. It would have been the last regularly scheduled meeting last night, right?
Right. It would have been the last of the year before we would typically recess for summer. But you know, I think we still have a few items we'll need to get to over the summer months. You know, we're looking forward to selecting a new permanent superintendent, implementing the guidelines, and having a safe plan for reopening school in the fall, and just a few other items that we'll need to continue to check in on to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, and we'll follow up with you when those happen. But as I mentioned, it was the last meeting for Dr. DeCristofaro. It was a bit of a celebratory meeting, I guess.
I'd say so. You know, he's been a fixture in Quincy Public Schools for over 45 years. He was the assistant superintendent in 1993 and became superintendent in 2001. That type of longevity, not just in a superintendency, but in a career, is really unheard of at this point. And personally, I feel very, very lucky that I not only got to serve on the school committee and as vice chair during his tenure, but more importantly, is I'm a product of the school system that he helped build from the ground up. And you know, he's helped positively impact my life and thousands of students and their families throughout his career. And you know, Quincy Public Schools would not be where it is today without him. The way that he connects with people, the way that he builds a team and believes in those that he surrounds himself with is truly inspiring. And when we talk about leadership, I can really only hope that one day I'll be a good leader as he is and others can be. So it was a pretty emotional meeting. We started with a surprise 10-minute video tribute to him that had messages from teachers, staff, principals, school committee members, former school committee members, some on the city council, and I think most importantly, his family. And it was a really touching tribute. And then Mayor Koch presented him with a small desk-sized statue of John Adams, the same one that is out on the Hancock Adams Green. He's actually only the fourth person to have one of those. The other three being Congressman Lynch, David McCullough, the historian, and a direct descendant of the Adams family. So he's the fourth to receive that. I also had the pleasure of presenting him a personalized etching of the Coddington building on behalf of the school committee and in the entirety of Quincy Public Schools. And the last bit, which I think was maybe the most surprising to him, was we took a vote and unanimously approved that the new Special Education Learning Center will be named the Richard DeCristofaro Learning Center. And it will be, you know, when people visit that building, they'll remember his name, hopefully. And you know, the work that he did for Quincy Public Schools. So we're very, very grateful to him, and we're wishing him well as he moves on to college with the class of 2020.
That's right. He's finally getting to go to college.
That's right. It only took him, you know, 20 plus years, but he did it. So we're very proud of him.
Wow. Well, that's quite a tribute. That's quite an honor and a lasting legacy too, with the naming of that education center on O'Colony Avenue. I'm sure that'll be touching for him and his family. And of course, he's not leaving education as the new president of Quincy College. I'm sure he's already worked to create the dual enrollment program, you know, for Quincy public school students. I'm sure there'll be more collaboration in the future.
Absolutely. I mean, he's right next door. I'd like to think we have a pretty good relationship with him. So I hope that, you know, we can continue to have, you know, an increased relationship with Quincy College so we can benefit more QPS students.
And he'll be watching, too, right outside his office window. Was that his officially last day on the job, Anthony, or when does that actually happen?
Yeah, so his official last day on the job will take place sometime next week, but this was his last meeting but hats off to him on one heck of a career. And his career's not even over. He's not retiring. He's still going to be hard at work over at Quincy College.
Sure. And Deputy Superintendent Kevin Mulvey now taking the reins?
Yes. So he, I believe, at the same time, once Rick officially leaves, which is just in a few days, Mr. Mulvey will be the interim superintendent until we have a permanent superintendent in place.
So will Dr. DeCristofaro be speaking at graduations?
So we did discuss that. I think he might make another round. He might come back in July. You know, this is still his graduating class. And sort of on along those lines, at the meeting last night, Dr. DeCristofaro read the proclamation officially stating that our seniors have met the requirements for graduation, and he recommended to us that they officially be graduated. So I did just want to give a shout out to our seniors and congratulate them on officially being graduates of Quincy Public Schools. You know, very proud to welcome them to the alumni network for me, for North Quincy High School, and of course to the Quincy High School Alumni Network as well.
Very good. So I know they need that declaration, a lot of them, for their next phase in life, whatever it may be, higher education, military service, vocational service, whatever it might be. They do need that.
Right. We didn't want to hold them up either and make them wait until the in-person graduation ceremonies, which will take place later this month. North Quincy, I believe it's July 24th, Friday at 6 p.m., and Quincy High the following day at 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. respectively. And we did get a little bit of an update last night just on those plans. Just so everyone knows, the Boston Cannons will actually be providing some staff for us to help facilitate the ceremonies. And they've offered up to Quincy Public Schools for free their ticketing service. So I believe in the letters that went out to families where they indicate if they're attending and they're saying, you know, what two guests they'll bring, you can look at the stadium on the map and select where you'd like to sit and print out your tickets right at home or have them on your phone ready to go when you enter the ceremony. So thank you to the Cannons for that. And we're looking forward to it. And at this point, I know reservations are coming in. So we'll have more of an update on numbers maybe in a few more weeks. But I think we're in a good spot right now. And I'm glad we're going to have a socially distant but in-person ceremony for our seniors. They deserve it.
That is a huge benefit to utilize their expertise, you know, in logistically planning this out. Who better than the team that sells tickets to that very stadium? They know the ins and outs of it and have invested over $1 million in it.
Right. They've been an incredible community partner. They fixed the stands. They updated the locker rooms. They put in a high-definition scoreboard and replay video system for us. They've done a lot for Veterans Stadium, and they continue to think of the Quincy community as they continue to be here. So I'm looking forward to when they can start playing some games again, and maybe I can catch one.
Yeah, I'm sure they are as well. Any more details about what the actual ceremonies will look like, Anthony?
Yep. So platform guests in general will be limited to those that are just speaking. The guidelines from the state essentially are, remain, if you don't need to be there, don't go. Masks are going to be required per state guidelines. Individuals must be spaced out both on the field and in the stands 6 feet apart. Students will wear their cap and gown. And I think we're still going over exactly what we're going to do with the diploma situation. Is someone going to physically hand them out? Will they be situated so students can pick them up themselves? Will they get them ahead of time? So I think we're still working out those particular logistics. But, we're slowly but surely, building to a finalized plan. But one thing's for certain, we'll have it by July 24th and July 25th.
Okay, and there are rain dates too. Hopefully we don't need them, but that's already been thought about as well.
Right, yeah, those rain dates is a reminder, the following Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, respectively, for the North Quincy High ceremony, the 10 a.m. ceremony for Quincy High, and then the 4 p.m. ceremony for Quincy High. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, respectively, of the following week.
Right. Any determination yet about the band or the choir at all? Has that been talked about?
Not as of yet. I think they're still going over what you would define as required or minimum platform guests. Yeah. So obviously there are seniors that are part of those groups that would always attend. And usually there's a shuffling back and forth between going in those choir.
Let me just get my diploma. I'll be right back. Yeah.
Right, and they do a great job, but I'm not entirely certain if that is something that we'll be able to follow through with. But I know Deputy Superintendent / Interim Superintendent Mulvey and the team are working on that as we speak.
Okay, we'll have to wait and see how that pans out, certainly. Speaking of superintendents, how's the search going?
Yeah, so the search committee met for the first time this past week. As a reminder, that search committee is the 13-member board the school committee appointed. It's being chaired by Mr. Frank Santoro. And they had their first meeting to set up sort of an orientation, go over preliminary survey results, and set a path moving forward. So I believe they've set up a rubric and a matrix to score candidates based on their resumes, so they can whittle it down from just applicants to semi-finalists to interview. This past week, and actually as we speak, we had some of our first focus groups to supplement that online survey with, I believe it's principals, administrators, staff, and teachers thus far, and parents have taken it. And we're going to schedule a few more for next week. Those times are still TBD. We're trying to do our best to get sort of an overview of how many people joined, what's the demand like, before we decide when those will take place next week. So those are up and running. And we also have a dedicated webpage on the Quincy Public Schools website to list sort of what's going on with the search. So it has the link to the survey. It has links to the info on the scheduled focus groups, if anyone wants to participate, if they are a part of the groups that are available to the public, like parents or just non-parent residents of the city of Quincy. It reviews the purpose of the search committee, the purpose of the school committee in this search, our timeline, the materials that we've posted, and things like that, so the community can always check in. And I believe there's a quick link right on the Quincy Public Schools website that people should be able to see when they go to the homepage there.
That's great. It's great that it's been made available to everybody like that to keep track and know what's happening, you know, when and how they can participate as well. It's, as we've seen, it's a decision that could affect the school system for a very long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And talking with the executive director of the Mass Association of School Committees, Mr. Glenn Kucher, who has been helping us out quite a bit, you know, our survey responses, actually just before this interview, I got an update. We're up to over 800 responses from the community.
Wow.
And, you know, he said that is a very, very robust response. You know, he's been doing the surveys quite a long time now, so he would know. So I just want to say thanks to everyone that's taken the survey thus far. And if you hadn't yet, please do. You know, we really do need to hear what you have to say. You know, we're looking for the best superintendent to serve Quincy potentially for the next 20 years. And we need to know the strengths and weaknesses you're looking for, the background you're looking for, and even more importantly, I think, as a school committee and for the next superintendent, where can we improve? What are we doing well? What are some things we need to nurture? What are some things we need to address? And every school system should be doing that. You know, no school system is perfect. We know that. But there's always room for improvement, and we need to hear directly from you in order to make that happen.
Yeah, is there a deadline at all, Anthony, for public comments?
So typically, there's no hard deadline, but again, we're most likely going to close the survey on the last day we're taking applications for the position of superintendent, which is June 25th. So that is actually 2 weeks to the date today. Where we're conducting the interview. It might not be posted today, but June 25th is sort of that target date to close surveys.
Okay. Do you know how many, if there are any applicants, how many there are so far?
I do not. I believe they're receiving, the search committee is receiving an update on that at their meeting tonight. Generally speaking, Mr. Kuchar had said for Quincy, you should expect maybe 20 to 30 applicants. As a reminder for folks, we have asked, the school committee has asked the search committee to give us 3 to 6 external candidates in addition to any internal candidates. We are going to, out of respect for the individuals that come from Quincy Public Schools, interview them as finalists if they would like to before the school committee publicly. However, although they're automatically finalists, the search committee is still going to interview and score them as semi-finalists. So the school committee has a full view and understanding of their perspective on where all candidates that we're interviewing as finalists fall. So we'll have a good understanding of that representative group and their feelings on where candidates stand heading into that final round.
Okay. Sounds very like a very thorough process, for sure. It'll take some time, most of the summer, it sounds like.
Yes, they have the work cut out for them. And again, I just want to say thanks to them because, you know, we're going through this for the first time in 20 years, and we need a very dedicated group to help us out with these steps. They're very crucial to the process, and thanks to them for stepping up.
Any more discussion about what might be happening in the fall, Anthony?
Yeah, we did touch upon that. So in the last week or so, there has been a wave of new guidance from the state, whether that be remote summer programs, in-person summer programs for special education, and even preliminary guidance for reopening schools in the fall. Some of that guidance, I'll talk specifically about reopening in the fall. I know we've, you know, gone back and forth the last few weeks, and you say, is there any guidance on that? Have you talked about that? And each week, you know, it's say we're waiting for guidance from the state.
Right.
So we got it this past week. Essentially, the ask is that everyone stay at least 6 feet apart when you're in the classroom, when you're in the hallways, when you're entering and exiting the schools, that the student to staff ratio be 10 to 2 maximum, meaning no more than 12 people are allowed to be in a room at one time. And it's also recommended that we severely limit capacity on transportation. So on our buses, I think we need to operate at 25 or 40% capacity, depending on the size of the bus. So that's going to present some challenges. I know Mayor Koch has purchased from the city side some PPE and cleaning supplies preemptively, and there's a cost that's associated with that, and there's a cost that's associated to implementing the guidelines that are being put in place thus far. And that's not to say that guidelines shouldn't be in place or that we disagree that precautions need to be put in place. But my colleague and I, Kathy Hubley, and myself proposed a resolution, which my colleagues unanimously approved, to ask the state not to implement any unfunded mandates. So in order to adhere to that 10 to 2 ratio, a couple things would need to happen. We either would need to double the number of teachers that we have and double the number of available classrooms. So we need to double the amount of just school space that we have, or we would need to have maybe an A group and a B group and have, you know, people go in the morning and then the B group go in at night, or do A group has week one, B group has week two, and in between you're doing remote learning. You know, we're going to have to continue to buy PPE and cleaning supplies. We're going to have to run more buses. We're going to have to do a lot of things. And there's a very large price tag associated with that. In fact, the National Association of School Administrators and Business Administrators put out a report that said the average cost for the average school district, which is defined as 3,600 students, Quincy has over 9,000, 8 school buildings, Quincy has almost 20, 40 buses, and just that's the average school district. It would cost $1.8 million to implement guidelines similar to the ones that Massachusetts has put out thus far. And it's just not doable. It's not to say, again, that guidelines shouldn't be in place or that they're not necessary. It's just putting these in place and saying best of luck to all of these towns, especially at a time when budgets are being kept level, teachers are being furloughed, not in Quincy, but in plenty of other surrounding communities. That is, if we wait long enough, a reality we will need to face. It's unfortunate, but it's where we're at. And if the state doesn't step up with funding to implement these procedures, then we'll really be left with no choice than to not adhere to the guidelines and potentially have to go full remote learning. And that's not something we're interested in doing for an even extended period of time. So I appreciate my colleague's support, the mayor's support in the resolution asking for no unfunded mandates for these.
Yeah, have you heard our other school districts taking similar resolutions, maybe to kind of force the state's hand?
Yes, yeah. So Quincy does not stand alone in this regard at all. School committees all across Massachusetts are, approving similar resolutions to send to their state delegation, the governor, the director of education. So we're not alone in that regard. There's actually a standard resolution language that's going around between school committees. But the cost is just absolutely prohibitive. And I think more importantly, it is really impossible to have a conducive learning environment. If you have 4 hours of school a day, instead of eight, if you're constantly going in and out week to week, there's just a certain level of anxiety that our students are going to have. And at what point are you better off not sending them in at all and going for a more robust remote learning program or vice versa? People are going to feel differently about this, but I do just want to remind folks, this is just preliminary guidance. I think the state might adjust, and I don't expect them to have everything be unfunded. But the ask essentially is no unfunded mandates, not some unfunded mandates. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. Yeah. Just quick math in my head in Quincy would be anywhere from $4.5 to $5 million additional on top of the existing budget, which you did approve, by the way.
Yes, we did. So yeah, the budget that we approved at this past meeting, I believe it was $115 million around there. It's essentially level funding, and it implements some of the positions/guidelines that we also approved at last night's meeting regarding student opportunity gap plans to help high needs groups close the achievement gap. So high needs groups typically, as defined by the state, special education students, low income students, and I forget the last one. I can't remember off the top of my head. But the high needs students, essentially.
I think it's the English language learners.
That is correct. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. We've been talking a lot about the student opportunity the last few weeks, so I'm glad some of it has rubbed off.
Yes, I'm still a student, even at this age, learning as we go.
Just between those three groups and providing some additional supports with social and emotional learning, and more guidance, additional staff. So we're still focused on those areas, and we think the budget that we approved addresses those needs. We did get public feedback not only on the budget but the Student Opportunity Act plans, and we're, as we just mentioned, there's going to be a little bit of uncertainty regarding budgets moving forward, but I think we as a committee are nimble enough to adjust as things come our way. And I know that Mayor Koch has always been more supportive of funding our public schools, and we're lucky to have him as chair of the school committee as well, so that the communication between the city side and school committee side is about as fluid as possible.
Right. And I know that there are preparations being made in the event, you know, remote learning has to be more robust with 7,000 new Chromebook computers on the way.
Right. Yeah. As part of the budget we had, through the CARES Act funding, you know, Mayor Koch submitted a plan to give every 5th through 12th grader their own Chromebook to rent, you know, for the year from Quincy Public Schools. So that if we have to go full remote, you know, we're able to do that. Everyone will have the technology that they need. Some of the funding was also used for technology for teachers, so they can have their own platforms as well. But even if we don't go to full remote learning, you know, this is an initiative we've talked about at the school committee for a while, that one-to-one technology / book to student ratio will allow us to do so much more in terms of learning than we have in the past. So I think this is a real asset for us, not just heading into this next year, but in the years to come.
Yeah, it's part of the new normal that everybody's talking about, I think, and it's going to become more commonplace as the years go on, for sure.
Right. Absolutely.
Anything else we should touch on, Anthony? That's quite a bit that we've covered.
I don't think so for the time being. I'm just going over the agenda again. But it looks like we touched upon everything. There's a lot to get to, just so folks know moving forward. We said we would meet on a weekly basis until we had a plan for graduations, and we had a more firm plan for the superintendent search. So we aren't going to be meeting on a weekly basis anymore now that those items have been not wrapped up, but they're in a place that don't require weekly check-ins anymore. So they're going to be more intermittent over the summer months, but I would expect some updates just regarding graduation and that superintendent search when it makes sense for us to check in and make sure things are still on the right track. And of course, reopening and as we get more guidelines from the state as we need to implement those plans. So we'll still have meetings, but my guess is it would go back to the normal every 2 weeks, or particularly during the summer months, it's usually a break entirely, but that's just not feasible right now. We still need to go to work. There's a lot of work to be done.
Sure. Well, really appreciate the opportunity that we've had over the past couple of months to chat with you and get these updates, and we'd love to continue them after your meetings in the future.
It sounds good to me. I'm looking forward to continuing to check in. You know, as we said, there are some things that, some opportunities that have come up that you should continue to implement in your own life as you move forward past COVID. And I think this is one of them.
I think it's great. Hopefully we can do it in studio in the future too. Not too distant future.
6 feet apart. But yeah, that'll work.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Anthony.
All right. Have a good one.
Okay. Thanks. You too.